All of us aren't asked to be like Ayatollah Behjats. All of us aren't asked to be Salman Farsi. But the important thing is that we should be trying to be on that path. So that if it's the case that God takes us, our lives, then we can tell Allah, well, we did our best. You know, we were on that path. Had we had the time and the resource and opportunity, we would have gotten, inshallah, to even those, to that level, even higher than that as well too.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, Dialogue. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
Is silent towards oppression, even one voice becomes powerful. IRIB English Radio, the voice of the voiceless. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know. What should I do?
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of Iran Radio. A very warm welcome. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is your host, Zainab. In this program, we answer your curious questions and we discuss the topics regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. Our answers are rooted in the Holy Book of Quran and the Hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the narrations of Imams. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon them. All right, so we have been talking about the Lady Martyr, Lady Maryam, who was working in a hospital and gave herself a punishment, a penalty of not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis, even though she was praying. But when she felt like she's moving away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she decides to do something that could remind her of the hereafter. And she goes to some intense thing, something very extreme. And she starts walking on the hot oil pipes where she reminds herself of the heat and fire of the hereafter. Well, we have been telling the teenagers that it's not necessary to go to the extremes, but giving penalty to yourself for not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or committing any sin could actually help to reach that spiritual peak or that spiritual perfection. But we were talking about the penalties, like how the penalty should be. There should be something that could actually make us even better person. So Brother Liaquat is again with me, and we are here to discuss more on the topic. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam, sister.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you so much.
And we want to continue without any further ado.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So the question rises, like, till what extent a person should punish or to keep
Your
a penalty for himself,
right,
or herself. You know, like, there are levels in penalties. A person should have the capability, and even if the person has the capability to bear a lot, example, still it is not suggested in the first place to go to that particular intense level. Example, this particular martyr Maryam, what she has done is a very brave act, I would say. Like, it needs a lot of courage to do
such
a
kind of stunt.
Exactly, yeah. And at the end of the day, she was martyred, of course, in a bomb blast. And she has gained the status of martyrdom. And you know what? I would say few martyrs.
I think something that needs to be highlighted over here is that doing stunts is not something that provides you with that status of martyrdom, or you get that. We won't say that she did a big stunt and that's why she attained this level. But it's actually the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
It's
actually
the
realization that I'm moving away.
And you know what?
She didn't
do it for riya. Like, she didn't do it for show off.
Right.
This was revealed after 26 years after her martyrdom. None of the people knew about this when she was alive, you see. It was purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it wasn't that the head in charge would be on the top of her head, like, tell me, and I'm ordering you as head in charge, you have to tell me, you have to show me your feet and everything, she would never have told. And of course, even in the first place, she was kind of rejecting. No, nothing had happened. I'm fine. I'm completely fine and everything, you see. So there was no scope of show for here from this lady martyr. And of course, there were other martyrs as well who went to extremes, and they have attained martyrdom as well. And there were other people, like noble scholars, and there were other orafa, mystic scholars, who attained such a position after a lot of penalties. Example, like Ayatollah Qazi, example, the very famous mystic scholar. When it was told to him, it was asked repeatedly. He was asked repeatedly for like many days. And he says something like about his purification of the soul.
And we would want to know that after a short break, dear listeners. Stay tuned.
Give thanks to Allah for the moon and the stars. Praise Him all day for what is and what was. Take hold of your iman. Don't give in to Shaitan. Oh, you who believe, please give thanks to Allah. Allahu Ghafoor, Allahu Rahim, Allahu Yuhibbul Muhsinin, wa Khaliquna, wa Rasiquna, wa Huwa ala kulli shay'in qadeer.
Welcome back, and you're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. Brother Liaquat is with me, and we are learning the lessons from the lives of martyrs. Brother Liaquat, you were talking about a martyr.
So about Lady Maryam and the shuhada who give penalties. Not just the martyrs, it's also about the scholars, yeah, who give penalties to themselves, example. And there was a mystic scholar, very famous mystic scholar, Ayatollah Qazi. When it was asked to him, like, how he attained such a state, it was told to him, it was told to that person that I have kept a small stone in my mouth for 26 years.
Just to
make myself train of what to say and what not to say. Example, whenever he would want to speak, that stone would become a barrier, right? Would become a barrier, like he would not speak properly. So what he would do is he would remain silent. He would think, he would remove the stone from his mouth, and that is when he would speak. And after he speaks again, he would put back the stone in his mouth so that it gives some time for him to think. You know what? When we speak, we just speak just like that without thinking. In order for this not to happen, okay, like this took away all the possible grounds for backbiting, for lies, all the possible sins of the tongue, example, yeah, of the tongue are removed because of the stone. Because it would create a barrier for him to speak every time he wanted to speak something.
Right.
And like this, he trained himself for 26 years.
Right.
MashaAllah, like a lot of time, like 26 years is not a joke. And he attained, he was a teacher to Ayatollah Behjat and other mystic scholars. He became the teacher of mysticism, you see.
Right.
So Ayatollah Qazi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have a lot of blessings on that pure soul, inshallah.
Right.
So, yeah. So, likewise with the martyrs as well, who go ahead with intense penalties for themselves, example, they, of course, they had the capacities, one side of the story. And the second side of the story is having the zarfiyah, example. The
capability.
The capability, like the person is strong enough in many aspects that the person is taking a lot of pain in order to gain a status near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this is after achieving the there's a path, yeah, like awwal waqt, namaz, congregation, this, that, mustahabbat, everything I attained, and then a person goes to this state, like where a person like Ayatollah Burje, which I told you, like he keeps fast for 1 year just to because he became angry.
Not to get angry.
Yeah, exactly. So you see, like he keeps fast for one year, yeah. So likewise, because
penalty,
he has attained this path, like he has gone on this path, yeah. And at the end of the day, we see that, yeah, this is something applicable for this person going to an extreme place as well. Like,
right. Mm-hmm. So we again recommend and suggest the audience that not to go to extremes, not to go to intensities, but it was like we're again saying that they had already been on this path. They had practice and we again don't recommend, but we do recommend give yourself the penalties of like, I would recite namaz in its first place. I would fast for a particular day, or I would fast for these days, and I would like pray in jama'at, whatever is difficult for you, whatever is recommended actually in the religion of Islam, and that's really difficult for you, I think you should be keeping that as a penalty so that you can actually prosper. Well, we'll discuss more with you. Let's take a short break here. Dear listeners, don't go anywhere.
Regarding the saying of Allah the Exalted, "U anfusakum wa ahlikum nara," save yourselves and your family from fire. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Teach yourselves and your family righteousness."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing and Brother Liaqat is with me. Yes, brother.
So, keeping fast, just like you have said, keeping zikr, like remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like reciting 100 times La ilaha illallah, example, okay? Because these have a lot of asar or have a lot of effect on a person's soul. Example, the father or the mother, the parents, the educators, they might tell their child or the teen, like, do this, which is very easy, and make sure that the person does it, like the teen does it, yeah? Like namaz jama'ah or like jama'at or gufaila prayer, example, or going to masjid or namaz ishab, just like you have said, taqibat of namaz. Few people don't have the habit of reciting tasbih of Sayyidina Fatima Zahra, salamu ala alayha.
Energy, right.
Yeah, exactly, like keeping this as a penalty, example.
Right.
You see? Or daily duas and ziyara. There are many others, like always staying in wuzu. You know, these are the penalties. I was going through another shaheed, and he wrote a few points which were very interesting in his notebook, okay? And his penalties were, number one was hifz of ayah of the Holy Quran,
right?
Okay? Number two was daily studying time. He would have this thing, like if I do a particular thing, which is a mistake even, he would increase his studying time. You see?
Okay.
Yeah, this is something interesting. Like studying time, It's like, okay.
And then that's a good thing for teenagers, actually.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, definitely.
Increase your research time, increase your study time.
Definitely.
As a penalty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Like increasing, because normally they would like to play, they would like to go out, you see. But
be
increasing. It be, and this Shahid again is the teenager, like who was like, I should increase my study
time. It could be other way as well. Like you can decrease your scrolling time.
Perfect. Excellent. In today's world, this is wajib, I would say. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, and they were shuhada. There were a few shaheed who would keep points. Like example, who would through points they would go to penalties. Example, if I slept for extra time, this is from a shaheed again. If I slept for these many hours, like example, more than what is required, I would get these many points. So they would do this accounting on a daily basis. They would give themselves points. They would give themselves for good things as well. Like if they
encourage themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And
discourage for the bad acts.
Yeah, exactly. For number of lies spoken, number of show off. Like he or she has done riya. Okay,
right.
showing off to people, doing an act in order to show people, or listening to backbiting. So these were the counted.
Well, sometimes you just even speak the truth. What is one of the major problems that I have seen in the teens? You are speaking the truth, but you exaggerate the things and say the truth in an exaggerated manner, and you exaggerate it so much that it becomes a lie sometimes. And sometimes, you know, I think one of the penalties that I may say can be counted as penalties, like we have been discussing the penalties throughout the show. I think I have done this once, and that was going out without a phone for a day. And really, it was really hard. But at the same time, I think I was living in the real world after a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like it felt like it's a rebirth.
That's interesting.
Yeah. You can try good penalties with yourself so that you may get back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And
sure.
In fact, first get back to the real life, the real world.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother, for
Thank
being
you.
With us. Thank you, dear listeners. You are listening to Iran Radio. Until another episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Ramadan, month of God's banquet. The blessed month of Ramadan is like a rainfall on a dry desert. It is an exceptional opportunity to saturate the parched desert of our soul with this enlivening rainfall. Ramadan is the time to get rid of the hustle and bustle of everyday life and join the infinite mercy of God. Let us first listen to Ayah 185 of Surah Baqarah of the Holy Quran. The month of Ramadan is the one in which the Quran was sent down as guidance to mankind, with manifest proofs of guidance and the criterion. Ramadan has provided the best chance for getting close to God and benefiting from His mercy. It is the month of prayer, month of supplication and getting close to the Holy Quran. Stay with us for the 24th episode of this series.
Prayer
and supplication stem from the depth of the heart and make the servant. Prayer and supplication stem from the depths of the heart and bring the servant closer to the Lord. But sometimes our demands are delayed, and God does not fulfill them immediately. Why? Doesn't the Lord like us? Have we been cast out of his presence? The blessed month of Ramadan is the month of revelation of the Holy Quran and the time of worship. It is the month which revives the spirit of servitude in us. Prayer is a present by God for his servants. Without his wish, no tongue is able to pray and praise him. When God permits us to extend our hands, he has indeed opened the gates of mercy and likes to hear our voice. But this path is not always smooth. Ayah number 2 of Surah Ankabut tells us, do people think that they will be left on their own if they say, we believe, but they will not be tested? For sure, Allah tests his servants in this spiritual journey to refine their faith and make their spirit perfect. One of these tests is to delay prayers. Sometimes we ask something from God, but it is not fulfilled. It may take months and years. This is part of the divine wisdom. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, says, if your prayer is delayed, this shouldn't make you disappointed. This shows that delay may occur to provide us the chance of training and growth. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, says, pray as much as you can, because you do not know at which moment your prayer will be accepted. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, told his eldest son, Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace be upon him, God's giving depends on your intention. Perhaps your demand is delayed so that you enjoy a greater reward. Now let us listen to Ayah 216 of Surah Baqarah in the Holy Quran. It may be that you dislike something while it is good for you, and it may be that you love something while it is bad for you. And Allah knows, and you do not know. Sometimes we ourselves are the cause of delay. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, says, do not think that the acceptance of prayer has been delayed, whereas you yourself have closed the way with sins. Sin not only delays the fulfillment of prayer, it also darkens and hardens the heart. So first, we should purify our hearts with repentance and seeking forgiveness at the divine court. In the prayer for the 24th day of Ramadan, we say, O Allah, I ask you on this day for what pleases you, and I seek refuge in you on this day from what displeases you, and ask you on this day to grant me the chance to obey you and not disobey you. O generous to those who ask. In this prayer, we ask God Almighty to help us be his obedient servants. A man who has believed that whatever God ordains for him is good and avoids impatience and complaint, such a person will get close to the status of patience and submission to God. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, says about such a person, he who reaches this status will be happy and does not see except his Lord's favor and mercy, even if calamities rain over him from the skies and the earth. The highest example of this submission was the life of Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. although he had lost all his companions and relatives, he whispered to God with the words, "My God, I am pleased with your pleasure and submitted to your command." This is the loftiest degree of servitude. In the next part of today's prayer, we take refuge with God from what displeases him. Telling lies, backbiting, and slandering are some of these things. Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him, says, "God has forbidden paradise for those who are foul-mouthed and have little shame." In the end of the prayer, we ask God to be obedient. Obedience of God and his prophet is the only way of salvation. God says in part of Ayah 54 of Surah Nur in the Holy Quran, "Obey Allah and obey the Apostle." We beseech God to help us obey him and his prophet. Amen. Well, let us finish this program with the prayer we recite every day. O Allah, indeed, I ask you the best of what you are asked, so give me the best of what you give.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of Arab English Radio. Welcome to another episode of the program, Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Donishman. Please stay tuned. Allah in Surah Taha, Ayahs 43 and 44, addresses Prophet Moses and his brother Aaron, saying, "Both of you go to Pharaoh, for he has indeed rebelled. Speak to him in a soft manner. Maybe he takes admonition or fear." Upon hearing this command of Allah, Moses was shocked. "How is it possible to go to the cruel Pharaoh and talk to him in a soft manner?" Moses asked. Moses didn't know the reason behind the kindness of Allah to Pharaoh.
بگه موسی یادته بچه شیرخوره بودی؟
Here Allah recalled Moses about his childhood when the mother of Moses left him in a box in the Nile River. Then Allah made Moses enter the castle of Pharaoh. For 19 years, Pharaoh took care of Moses. In other words, Pharaoh behaved kindly to Moses. Now, based on the justice of Allah, Allah asks Moses to speak softly to Pharaoh, who was like a father to Moses. Therefore, the kindness and justice of Allah cannot be compared to any other type of goodness in history. Thank you very much, dear listeners of Arab English Radio, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Donishman. To find more about this program and our other programs, please visit our new website at iranradio.ir. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the lantern.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Dear brother and sister, dear listener of IRIB English Radio, especially this program Lantern, so welcome to this episode. Al-Quran, the Great and Holy Book. About 100 years ago, England had a powerful prime minister. He was a Christian to a high section of Anglican Church. His name was Gladstone. One day in the year 1882, he was speaking in the British Parliament on how to weaken the power of Muslims in Egypt so that the British could continue to rule over them. At one stage, he raised a copy of the Holy Quran in his hand and said that so long as this book remained with Muslims in that country and they respected and followed it, the British would never be able to dominate them. He added that the only solution was to try and separate the Holy Quran from the Muslims of Egypt. At the end of the speech, a committee was formed to decide upon ways and means of carrying out the Gladstone's recommendations. The committee resolved to send some experts to Egypt who would launch a campaign which would weaken the faith of people and make them suspicious of the truth of the Holy Quran. The aim was to discourage people to refer to the Holy Book and gradually make them turn against the Islamic way of life. In the course of this political and vicious program, a learned man by the name of Dunlop was sent to Egypt as a teacher. He prepared many books containing lessons which were nothing but propaganda in disguise. One of the lessons on history was based on showing how Egypt was lagging behind and was not making progress because of Islam and the Quran. It alleged that people of Egypt were much more civilized prior to the coming of Islam. Such ill-intentioned program first succeeded to a small extent in influencing the youth at schools. Then the men of Al-Azhar University protested to the authorities and demanded that an end be put to it. Now let us find out what are the qualities of this book which the enemies wish to remove from the Muslims. The holy book is known as Al-Quran, which means the reading of the Prophet of Islam who never went to any school. Prophet Muhammad had retired to a cave on Mount Haran not far from Mecca. One day, angel Gabriel came to him and said, "Read." The holy Prophet said, "What should I recite?" Gabriel said, "Read in the name of thy Lord who created man out of a mere clot of congealed blood. Read, and thy Lord is most beautiful. He who thought the use of pen, thought man that which he didn't not know." The Holy Quran as word of God, the Almighty, as revealed to his Prophet Muhammad. This book gives guidance for our daily life. It appeals to our power of reasoning and exhorts us to follow the commands of Allah. It is a living miracle of Prophet Muhammad, the last of the prophets who came from Allah. It is not surprising at all that his holy book has remained intact for the last 1400 years, and it shall remain so till the day of judgment, for Allah has taken it on himself to protect it. Surely we have sent down the reminder, the Quran, and we will most surely be its guardian. You can find this concept in chapter Al-Hijr, verse 9. Now we'll listen to our sister Musavi about the important point of the story.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Dear audience, welcome to a new episode of Lantern from IRIB English Radio. Well, in this program, what we do is to listen to certain religious stories and then try to talk about some of the lessons that we can take out of these stories and make use of them in our lives. Well, today we intend to talk about the greatness of Holy Book of Quran, which is a drop in the ocean of its miraculous aspects. Surah An-Nisa, verse number 135, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ شُهَدَاءَ لِلَّهِ وَلَوْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ الْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ. O you who have believed, be persistently standing firm in justice, witnesses in testimony for Allah, even if it be against yourselves, your parents, or your relatives. You see, this verse underscores the importance of upholding justice, which is a core tenet in teachings. The emphasis on social justice aligns with the commitment to advocating for the marginalized and oppressed, drawing from the Quranic injunctions to act justly and compassionately. The Holy Book of Quran serves as a means of spiritual development and connection to God. It invites believers to reflect upon its verses, engage in contemplation, and seek a deeper understanding of divine wisdom. Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in verse number 164, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. Indeed, in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alternation of the night and the day are signs for those of understanding. This call to reflection is a fundamental aspect of spirituality, encouraging believers to cultivate a personal relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through contemplation and prayer. Okay? Let's go for a short break and we will be back in no time.
The Lantern.
under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story, which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
Welcome back to your audience. You are listening to Lantern from Arab English Radio, and we are talking about the Holy Book of Quran and its miraculous aspects. Well, alongside with the Holy Book of Quran, the teachings and practices of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam are essential for understanding and implementing the messages of Quran. You know, the Holy Book of Quran in Surah Al-Imran, verse number 32, encourages obedience to the Prophet and his family, establishing their authority in interpreting divine guidance. The hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, "I leave among you two precious things, the Book of Allah and my progeny, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. If you adhere to both, you will never go astray." This highlights the belief that the Holy Book of Quran and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam together provide a comprehensive guide for Muslims. In general, the greatness of the Holy Book of Quran in Islam lies in its divine origin, linguistic beauty, and profound teachings. It serves as a guide for ethical living, social justice, and spiritual development. The Quran's relationship with the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam further enriches its understanding, emphasizing the importance of following both the scripture and the exemplary lives of the Prophet's family. Muslims view the Quran as a timeless source of wisdom and guidance, encouraging continuous reflection and engagement with its teaching to navigate the complexities of life and spirituality. The Quran, therefore, remains a beacon of light for believers, directing them towards truth, justice, and deeper connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, well, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to us. I really hope that you have enjoyed listening to this episode. I personally loved this episode so much because it showed the great aspects of the Holy Book of Quran. And of course, for me, I learned this lesson that I must really, really, really try to take my most advantage of this Holy Book and hold it as a precious thing in my life. Well, until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brother and sister, thank you very much for your company. This is the end of this episode of Lantern. Until a new story, fi aman Allah.
The Zionist regime has failed to achieve its stated objectives of crushing the resistance groups, which still maintain the upper hand in their demands and negotiations in both Gaza and Lebanon. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Press TV wrote, despite Israel's repeated aggressions and escalating violations, normalization remains responsible, while the people's resistance and resolve persist. On March 23rd, the Zionist regime re-enacted the Mashd al-Sham scenario, claiming that an influx of rocket fire from Lebanon was launched by Hezbollah, a claim that the resistance movement flatly denied. That day, the Tel Aviv regime again unleashed its wrath, killing several people in Tulin and Tyre, South Lebanon, in attacks described unprecedented since November 2024 ceasefire between the two sides. As regional tensions reach a boiling point, with the United States reaffirming its resolve to act against resistance forces across the region, aggression against Yemen has escalated and the genocidal war on Gaza has resumed. Yemen has severed the U.S. and Zionist entities' sea supply routes. Lebanon remains key to Tel Aviv's hostility due to its geographic proximity. Resistance capability to strike deep inside the occupied territories has grown, and the threat of the elite Radwan division storming in from the north to liberate Palestine remains in place. For these reasons, among others, Lebanon and the elimination of its resistance movement has always been existential priorities for both the U.S. and its proxy Zionist entity. On February 18th, the Zionist entity refused to withdraw from five key points: Al-Labune near the Naqoura outskirts, near Jal Adair in Aitarun, near Hammam's Hill opposite Metula, visible from Kafar Kila but south of Khiyam, Jabal Blat in Marwahin and Remyeh, and the outskirts between Markaba and Hula. After the so-called ceasefire deadline, an extension unilaterally demanded by the Zionist entity, these five points were not only declared sites of indefinite occupation, as the Israeli war minister, Israel Katz, arrogantly stated days ago, but also became strategic locations for controlling the roads that connect them. The objective behind this prolonged occupation is unmistakable, laying the groundwork for a new so-called security belt to serve as a launchpad for further illegal expansion into Lebanon, a futile attempt to revert the equation to the days of the 1978 occupation of the country's south. Entire roads have been closed off, including the route from Odessa to Kafar Kela and Markaba Hula roads linking the eastern and western sectors, and the roads leading to Jabal Blat and Naqoura. The apartheid regime is not merely occupying five isolated points, but is working to seize an entire stretch of Lebanese territory, carving out a new buffer zone that serves as a launchpad for expanded invasion. While the United States has tempered Israeli demands for yet another extension of the so-called ceasefire, it has simultaneously provided the logistical, political, and material support for continued Zionist occupation and coercion. Exploiting Beirut's urgent need for economic reconstruction and recovery, the U.S. has tied financial relief to normalization with Israel, using it as a precondition. This aligns with the vision articulated by U.S. Special Envoy Stephen Witkoff, who spoke of the potential for Syria and Lebanon to enter into normalization agreements with the Tel Aviv regime led by Benjamin Netanyahu. It also reflects the long-standing strategy evident in World Bank and IMF policies, particularly in the aftermath of the 2019 economic crisis, of linking Lebanon's economic recovery to both normalization with the Zionist regime and the disarmament of the resistance. Meanwhile, routine assassinations targeting civilian vehicles, often killing off-duty Hezbollah movement members going about their daily lives outside the context of battle, have become more frequent. Nearly every day since the U.S. delegation's last visit to Lebanon, deadly drone attacks on vehicles have terrorized local populations. This relentless and carefully campaign is yet another demonstration of Israel's unchecked impunity exercised without restraint in Lebanon. the appointment of former Lebanese Army Commander Joseph Aoun to the presidency after years of serving the U.S. ambassador is just one of many steps Washington has taken to tighten its grip on Lebanon, aggressively working to isolate and dismantle the Hezbollah resistance group. Through economic and political coercion, the Lebanese army has been stripped of its role as the protector of the state and its people, an ongoing trend that reached new lows during and after the latest war on Lebanon. The army was instructed not to assist displaced civilians or repair border crossings destroyed by Israel, effectively reducing it to a weakened auxiliary force enforcing American hegemonic mandates in the region. Now, with a thoroughly compliant president and prime minister in place, Prime Minister Nawaf Salam, who has openly dismissed the slogan People Army Resistance as a thing of the past and declared that investments will not come to Lebanon as long as there are weapons outside the authority of the state, Washington's influence over the Lebanese administration is clearer than ever.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
As-salamu alayka ya Amin Allah fi ardi.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. Imam Ali alayhi salam treated all human beings to be equal in the matter of rights and responsibilities, and he did not fix any limit in this behalf of equality among all human beings. And if he did fix any such limits, it was fixed keeping in mind the interests of the public in general, the people. And when we study the character of Imam Ali, we clearly see that he did not violate this freedom, the freedom of the people, the freedom of the public, the freedom in any of his laws, orders, rules, or regulations, and he always kept the public welfare in his view, in all his actions. He dealt equal treatment to both his friends and his foes. Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio. The program is To My Brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
So, dear friends, we are speaking about the universal persona of His Eminence, the first divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ali, the son of Abu Talib, alayhi salam. And we're also talking about the holy month of Ramadan. So, when we're talking about His Eminence, Imam Ali, alayhi salam, there's a couple of things here that we would like to connect with one another and bring forth, of course, Allah willing, and by the permission of the Almighty Allah, glorified and exalted be He. Now, what we're talking about here is the idea of free will and Imam Ali alayhi salam in the holy month of Ramadan and fasting. Now, sometimes, you know, we kind of have the wrong perspective when it comes to the holy month of Ramadan. And before I go into that, if I start with His Eminence Imam Ali alayhi salam, that is that His Eminence, everything that he did was out of his free will, meaning he wasn't forced to do anything. He wasn't forced to accept Islam when he was just a mere youth. He wasn't forced to support the Holy Prophet. He wasn't forced to defend the Holy Prophet. He wasn't forced to believe in Islam. He wasn't forced to sleep on the bed of the Holy Prophet on Laylatul Mabit, the night of the Hijrah, the migration of the Holy Prophet. And Imam Ali alayhi salam, so he wasn't forced throughout his life to do anything. He did everything out of his free will. He did everything voluntarily. He accepted to do what he did knowingly and consciously. Now, this is incredibly important. In the holy month of Ramadan, while we are fasting, sometimes we have the wrong perspective, which is what I was going to talk about. We think that we're fasting because we're forced to. We're fasting because we have to. We are engaging in worship and supplications and glorification and exaltation because we have to, because we must, because we are, in essence, forced to, or because we are obligated to, or because it is wajib, it is obligatory, we have to do it. Now, this is one perspective. I'd like to humbly put forth another perspective, and that is that yes, it is wajib, yes, we must do it, yes, it is necessary, yes, it is to our benefit, yes, it is a must for us to do it, yes, it is wajib. But what is important to note is that fundamentally we want to do this. This is a very powerful thing, and is a different way of looking at it, is that out of free will, we choose to fast. And out of free will, we choose to obey the Almighty Allah. And we choose to stay away from things that are prohibited and are haram. And we choose to engage in du'as and supplications and prayers and exaltation and the worship of the Almighty Allah. It is our choice. We want to. Yes, it is obligatory. Yes, it is necessary. Yes, it is something that is to our benefit. Yes, it is something that is highly recommended. But fundamentally, I want to do this. And it is interesting that when you start to look at it at this perspective, not only does it lighten the burden from your shoulders, because, you know, it's a very different feeling when you feel like you are forced to do something and you have to do something, and it's like, God, we have to do this again, and you still do it, you know, why not look at it from this lens and this perspective that, you know, yes, I want to do this in this holy month of Ramadan. I do want to fast. I do want to be in the glorification and the worship of the Almighty Allah. And it's interesting, but this is what we find when it comes to even the traditions of the Infallibles and Immaculates. They say that one who, for example, fasts even a single day of their own accord is rewarded to the extent that even if they were to be given the whole world's worth of gold, the reward would not be fulfilled for such an individual who fasts out of their own accord, their own free will, their own choice. And so a very beautiful, comprehensive, and hopefully life-changing lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Forgive me. everything was going so fast, and now I just can't go on. Forgive me for everything I've done in the light, for everything I've done in the night that I thought wasn't wrong.